Hey, Big and Lazy, give me a moment of your time to talk about IECA Services, the licensed electric company operating in Kentucky. They can pull permit, they can do everything from adding outlets to your TV, installing new light fixtures, to wiring an investment property, or even building something new from scratch. So whether you're in your living room and you want to add on something to your house, or you're in a real estate investor and you want to find an electrician to rewire an investment property, hit up IECA Services right now. Link is in the bio.
Craving a sweet treat? The Sweet Guy Bakery ships nationwide, delivers, and is also local pickup. Right now, grab the dorm room special, care packages, and mega boxes of cookies, all at sweet prices. Starting soon, they have a 2-for-5 deal. Follow them on Instagram, TikTok, at The Sweet Guy Bakery, where every bite is a match made in heaven.
Another confirmed multimedia production. Confirmed.
Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good, good to eat. Give us something good to watch.
Big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big, I'm B-Fans. I'm back with another special guest. This might be the first guest we ever had that had his own day in the city. B-Sims, welcome to the set.
Man, thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Nothing bad, man.
For sure, for sure.
Let's get right into it, man. Like, how your own day, man. Like, how does, you know, how did that come about and how, you know?
Shouts out to AT. AT actually made sure that, came to life.
Uh-huh.
But I guess it's just for real. I put in a lot of, work in this city for a while, so.
Yeah.
It just felt good to do it, and I did it on my birthday, so it made it, you know, made it a little extra special, so.
It is amazing. So your birthday is the day in this, you know?
Yeah, 7/19.
Oh, okay.
That's my daughter's birthday, too.
That's amazing right there, man.
Number right there. Don't play that. Don't play that number.
Quick pick. Pick three. So how'd you get started in the music? What made you get, you know?
I think just from jump, like, just music was just part of me. My mom was, like, a big, like, she could sing. Never took it serious, though. But, like, she would just always constantly have music playing. So, like, by the time I was, like, first, second of grade, third grade, I already had, like, rap groups. And, you know, I had put it all together from there.
Are we hearing a lot, like, a lot of people, like, a lot of their mothers in the church, and, you know, they come from a family, you know, background in music. So, like, when was you, like, when you first, you know, made your first track? Like, what was that about, like?
Like, my first real track?
Your first real track.
I remember the first time I, like, got recorded on, like, you know, like, on camera.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what happened to that tape. I'm so pissed. I wish I had it. But, like, so that was, like, my first real experience with, like, all right, I can rap. Because I seen the reaction from the people around me at a young age. So I was like, all right, I can rap. But it wasn't until one time my homie B-More and a couple people had, like, we would just, like, record little tracks on the computer.
Uh-huh.
And somehow, it got recorded. And then, like, Mario Yuridia, I don't know if you know him, playing for Louisville.
Yeah, uh-huh.
He had put me in the studio. It's actually not too far from here. It's the first studio I ever, like, really been in. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I just started rapping and, like, somehow, like, we burned it or whatever, and it just spread. Like,
that's what's up.
Just, yeah, so.
I didn't know he was in the music game.
He wasn't. He just knew I could rap.
Yeah.
Because I would freestyle with it. I was battling people in high school and shit like that. So.
Yeah.
I've always been, like, I was going to do something with rap regardless.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
So, what was some of your music influences growing up?
Like, artists?
Yeah, artist.
My big cousin was, like, my main one. Like, he could afford all the music, so he had everything.
Uh-huh.
So I would just ride around with him, and he, you know, back when motherfuckers used to put, like, Shove in their car.
So, that's a good old day.
Yeah, so he would just, like, play shit, and I knew then, like, this dude, he's so musically inclined. He don't do music at all,
uh-huh.
But he's so into it. He's like a music nerd, so he put me on. So he's one of my influences. Obviously, my mom, from LL to Jay-Z to, you know, like, those are the people who, like, kind of raised me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's what really made me, like, all right, I can rap. We can try this.
So is Jay-Z your GOAT? Is he the?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Rap-wise, yeah, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
I was more of a Nas fan growing up.
I was a Nas fan, too, though. Because, like, let's see. It Was Written is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I always loved Nas, too, though. So, but when I heard Jay, I was like, I feel like if I want to mold myself, I want to be more like him more than Nas.
Yeah.
Are you catching Nas's the 30th anniversary of Illmatic? He's going a live orchestra concert.
Yeah, one of my homies went to that. Uh-huh. I wish I could have been there because is it coming? It ain't coming here though.
He's coming to Cincinnati in November.
Oh, really?
Yeah, November.
You going?
Of course. I went to the one last year. It was in Columbus, Ohio. It was like a waterfront area. Like, oh my God, I could have died that night, bro. Like,
for real?
I'm a Nas. Like, and growing up, I had Nas posters all in my room.
Oh yeah, see, I did. Like, I used to take my CD covers and I got it from my cousin Dre. I would spread them out, and I would just wallpaper my room. My cousin Dre was the first one to do that, so I was just like, I got to do that.
That's what's up.
So you, what's your favorite Nas album then? My bad, I'm over asking.
Nah, go ahead. I appreciate it. My favorite Nas album, I don't know. I would have to say the one that has the most sentiment to me is the Godson. I love Godson. It's probably better albums, but Godson, that was
something to you.
Yeah, it meant something to me. It was classic. And that's when I first bought, like, be able to buy my own CD and have my first CD player. And no lie, I played that motherfucker about 3 months straight. You know what I mean? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was written's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
That's my go-to.
Sim City. So tell us about the thought process behind that.
The original?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the game was real popular, and people just kept calling me Sim or B-Sims, or, you know, so I was just like, I'm going to run with that. I like the whole Sim City concept. And what's crazy is, like, I made that with my guy Stein. For the most part, Chris Rich did some beats, or Axel Rich, I don't know if you know him, but he's from here too. So, like, we literally, like, we made that album in no time, and it just, that thing, like, spread throughout the city.
Yeah.
I don't even know how. Like, I just knew I had, like, even white boys coming to me, like, bro, we listen to you in high school, bro. Like, I'm like, I don't know how you got this, because we ain't have that many copies, you know what I'm
right.
saying?
So this is pre-internet, too.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then before that, though, somebody had broken one of my homies. We had printed out some CDs on, like, just like a, and it had, like, the little thick stuff that would get caught in your CD player.
Uh-huh.
We printed those out, went to the club one night. Somebody broke in his car and took all kind of shit and took those CDs.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they spread the CD out. So that's what got me on track to even making Sim City.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's a negative to a positive. So
So whoever broke in that car, I appreciate it.
Oh, that's dope. I know my homie Kid Koz. Like, have you heard of him, Kid Koz?
Mm-hmm.
Man, he had him and Dice had a Flame Gang tape. And I bought the CD, and I didn't have nothing to put it in, so I put it in my pocket. I bought it at the game, so I get home and pull it out of my pocket. It was a million motherfucking, you know what I mean? I was on fire, man. But he got mad at me because I burnt the copy, but I'm not buying it twice, man.
Yeah, I bought it once.
So you said you revamped. You said the original. Are you remastering? Are you redoing it?
What, SimCity?
Yeah.
I did one for Ethica. It was just like a kind of like a little mixtape. It was because I was going to start maybe a SimCity series.
Okay.
But I don't know where we at with that right now, so we'll figure it out.
I dig. Tour life. Like, what was that like going on?
Oh, my God. Tour with Wayne was crazy. Like, because I was on tour with Wayne and Jeezy at the same time.
Yeah. And what year was this?
This was, I want to say it was like 07, 08.
Oh, okay. Like, oh, this is the height.
Yeah. So this was like, I was super young too. So being on tour, that was my first tour.
Yeah.
And I'm just popping up with some of the biggest artists in the game. And still, it was crazy. Like, just being in different cities every day. Like, I remember, like, we would go, when I first started on the tour, they had, like, food for everybody.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for, like, it was for, like, Wayne.
Yeah.
It was, and so I remember I was just looking at that food, like, man, I wish I could eat that shit one day.
Yeah.
And then, like, by the time we got to show three,
uh-huh.
The chef was like, hey, come on, Sim, you go and get you some food. Like, they loved us so much. Like, when that was, like, crazy. That's, like, my biggest memory from tours, just I got to eat their food.
That's what's up, man. So just to get off subject a little bit, I seen a post on social media going around. They said no artist ever has had a better run than, like, 03, 05, 50 Cent. And they was comparing, like, 07, like, 05 Jeezy, like, 08, 07 Wayne. What would you think about that? Because I think if anybody can, because he went crazy. 50 had games, he had movies, like he went.
50 definitely did and he had like other artists come up under him that was successful too. So that's why I think that kind of helped him too. But I don't know. As far as I was just talking to somebody the other day about Get Rich or Die Trying versus Thug Motivation.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think Thug Motivation might have it, and I'm an East Coast head at heart.
And I'm the same way, because if we're talking like cultural impact, especially in the South, Jeezy was king. Jeezy was king.
He couldn't do no wrong, man.
They tried to ban his shirts. Like, you really couldn't.
Yeah.
Can't ban the snowman. They banned his influence got so crazy. Like, they banned his shirts. Like, and we was just a little friendly debate, but I said, if anybody could compare, like, at run with, you know, Jeezy.
Them two. Them two had a hell of a run. Mm-hmm. Like, almost to where they can't even top it. That shit was so impactful from jump. Like, that was a crazy run.
Do you think that's a gift and a curse? Like, your first project, like, being, like...
Super big?
Yeah, super crazy, super...
I think so, because it's hard to, you know, it's hard to top something. Like even for me, for instance, people would be like, man, you need to do another U of L song. I'm like, bro, that song was kind of done naturally. It's going to be hard to top that. I think. So just looking at, like, from a big artist aspect, yeah, if your first album's so good, like Lauryn Hill, for instance, that album's so good, it's like, how can you get put back in that space and make that again or make it better? I think gradually it's a little better if you know.
Yeah.
People can grow with you.
Because Tiller just said, he just made a post on Instagram. He said, man, everybody keeps saying, I got to make another trap, so I got to make another trap. I ain't got to do it. No, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I did it. Like, that was my penalty. You know what I mean? I'm fine with that, you know. He said, but
at the end of the day, he made it.
He did.
So it's not like he's fighting anybody else. He made it. Like, you know what I mean? So big ups to him, because that's a hard album to top, too.
Regardless. It is.
But he might be able to do it. I haven't heard a new album yet, which I want to listen to.
I haven't. I didn't know he dropped, so I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I think it's like a double album. It's like one rap, one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to check it out. You mentioned Ethica Music. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, Ethica. I signed to them back in 2021, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually my guy. I don't know if you know my guy Ray Love had actually. He sent me an email one day and was like, "Bro, fill this out. They flying people out."
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it's like, you know, just some old random whatever. So I fill it out. I get a call like a couple of days later, like, "Can you come out here on?" Maybe like 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
Came out there. They basically had this thing where you play three songs of yours. They play a couple beats. You pick one. You make a song on the spot. And at some point, they'll give you, if they like you, they'll give you 60 days to sign a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So I got there Saturday before Easter, recorded my song, and by Monday, I had a deal.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
So you've been signed with them quite a while, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shout out Matt Cook, man.
That's what's up. Is this based, you say it's based out of where?
It's in California.
Okay.
Lake Forest, like Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the richest counties, and it will make you feel poor out there.
Really?
Start looking at them houses and shit.
You also said you had a country album coming out. Like,
yeah.
You want to tell us about that? You want to big that up?
Yeah, country. I've always liked country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would go to Kenny Chesney concerts and shit like that all the time. I didn't know I could do country until one day Morgan Wallen was associated with Ethica.
Yeah.
At one point. So they were like, we might need some songs to pitch to Morgan Wallen. So I was like, all right, I'll try to make one.
Mm-hmm.
I made one, sent it to the label, and the label was like, hold on, is this you? Like, basically, like, you can do this? And immediately they flew me back out there. I did like maybe 12 songs that week.
Yeah.
And they liked them to the point where they're like, we don't want to really shop them. We'd rather you just do them.
Right.
So then that fast forward, like maybe 6 months later, I went to Nashville and recorded probably another 12 songs. And we picked from the best
24.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much got it.
So is that like reference tracks? Like
when I started?
No, like, with the country, like, you say you made a country song and, like, they don't want to shop them. Is that, like, a reference?
Yeah, I was kind of, like, going to reference it for, okay. Morgan Wallen, but it sounded good with my voice, so they were like, let's just use it. So, fuck it, let's use it.
So you say you've been signed for a long time. Like, so how do you stay versatile and, like, how do you stay current? Like, how do you, what are some of...
I think what most people get confused is when you, even, no knock to anybody, but, like, labels, they're really a support system.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a bank. You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing good, the bank will give you a loan. Same with labels. If you're doing good, labels will push what you need to do. So in the meantime, in between time, you got to do shit like this. You got to pull up the podcast. You got to put music out. You got to, you know, whatever you got to do to keep your name relevant, you got to do it. Because it's not necessarily the label's job to push you as much as you are supposed to push yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think a lot of people get it confused.
Okay. Because I understand with that, like, At promotion, you got to, at drive, got to come within, you know what I mean?
Just like even with you, you got to make sure you
get the right
people and, you know, make sure all your shit's in order. And then eventually, if somebody comes in and wants to dump some money or whatever, then now you already know what you need, you know
right.
what I mean? So,
like, what's the process in the studio? Like, what's...
My process?
Yeah, your process in the...
One thing, I don't really like listening to beats. Like, say, for instance, somebody sent me some beats today.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't listen to them until I get, till the mic is on.
What do you mean, like?
I'd rather hear it as soon as I'm in the booth, play that beat, and then, therefore, I'm giving you my first thought. It's not, I'm not thinking about it. I'm going off of emotion or going off the feel.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
That's my, and most of the time I don't write, unless it's like a little more personal to me, then I'll, you know, maybe sit down and write it a little bit. But for the most part, I just go in.
Punch in,
freestyle for a minute, mumble, do whatever it takes to get.
Right.
Because I think first I focus on what it's going to sound like. Like, not the words, but just like sonically. I hate using that word, but what it's going to sound like first. And then the words will just come in whenever they come in.
And so, like, how often, like, so when's the last time, like you wrote? Like, what's, like... So
I actually wrote a song. It's crazy. I've been going through a little writer's block, so it's been a while since I, like, wrote, but I went to the studio the other day and knocked out a verse in, like, 15 minutes.
Big. So tell us about opening up the Volume Studio in Louisville.
Man.
In the hometown.
Yeah, that's something I've always had, like, a studio in my house. Like, so most of the songs I used to do were recorded by me or somebody came to my house and we did them for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always had a studio, and then I've always had an interest in owning one. So I teamed up with my homie Marcus Withers, and he had started 400 originally.
Yeah.
And I used to kind of run 400 during COVID. I had nothing to do. So I would help. You know, and
COVID was a good time.
Like, it was, man. I got signed in, like, right before COVID.
Uh-huh.
But just learning that whole studio process and how much money can be made, or even not even just money, but just, you know, just seeing what young talent's coming in, seeing what talent's around. It's just a good place. So I got interested in making a studio after that. And then we linked up and made one, and we're pushing it now.
So, do you make beats too? Do you?
I can't make a beat to save my life.
Really?
No. I can probably AI it now, though.
Uh-huh. AI is crazy, man.
It is, dog. But, nah, I'm not musically inclined when it comes to instruments. I don't know why. Never got that.
I understand. So, recently you was honored with the Key to the City. July 19th is your day, man. How's that, like...
It's crazy. I didn't even really celebrate it this year, but it's so hard, man, because it's my birthday, it's my daughter's birthday,
yeah,
and it's my day for the city, so it's like, it was just hard to kind of, it's kind of hard to mesh all three of those.
Right.
But it is crazy to have that honor, man. Like,
so does it come with any perks, or
I ain't got the key yet. I think the key might.
Yeah.
I think the key might help you a little bit.
You know, skip some lines of the...
Yeah,
you know,
I think the key might. It's just like, hey, what's up, Simmy? We see you, boy.
That's what's up. So, Louisville is like has a rich music history. So, like, what are some of your favorite artists to work with that you've worked with in the city?
In Louisville?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I say Her Season was my dog.
Shout out to her, Cece.
He put me on a birthday remix, which helped me a whole lot. So I'll never forget that. Let's see. Sam Beast, he's a producer. I always like working with him. Artist-wise, let me think. There's a new kid named Aimless that I like working with.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't heard of him.
Yeah,
check him out.
He's a white dude that can sing and rap, but the singing's super crazy.
I think I've seen him. Is he like a
country? He used to be like Quiet Kid was his name. Now he goes by Aimless, and it's just hard. Fuck with him.
I'm going to check him out. So, your Mount Rushmore, we
oh, asked... One Take Two, my bad. That's my...
Man, shout out to One Take Timmy, man.
That's my...
Oh, my God, man. Can I say that on there? Can I tell the story?
Tell the story.
So One Take comes here and give us a fire, maybe hour 15 long interview. And he calls me back 2 days later. He said, hey, man, I got some bad news. Usually when he got some bad news, it ain't that bad. But this is real bad. He lost the damn interview, man.
Oh, shit.
One Take, he was on like our 100th episode. We did it up, man, and we lost the fire interview. Gave a lot of gems and, you know, articulated himself. It was a good interview. And we lost the interview, man.
That's my dog, man.
We're going to have to run it back. I don't think we can catch lightning twice in the bottle, but we're going to try.
So you got to top that album, man.
Yeah, we got to top you.
Top the first one, man.
So who's your, like, Mount Rushmore of, Louisville music?
Louisville music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good question. Artists?
Artists, rappers, entertainers, promoters, whatever you want
to. I would say you got to put Static and Playa.
Yeah, you got to put them in there. It's R&B Static.
I would say you got to put, God, man, this is a crazy question because I got so many like names floating through my head right now.
Cause I gave
you got to put Jack on there.
Yeah.
Jack's done more for City and a lot.
He has.
I mean, you got Kiki Wyatt, which, you know, was big. So we got a bunch of artists. Bryson.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, but you got people like My Morning Jacket. Like I don't know. It's crazy. Like, you got Nappy Roots.
Yeah.
Like, it just depends on if you're keeping it right. Somewhat.
Yeah. They, you know.
They represented it. Some people did.
They did.
Most of them are here. And if they're not in another city, so.
Yeah. I made a post on my social media. It's when the Mount Rushmore was going around. I said it was you. I put Chin 1. I went more local. I put Chin 1. I forgot the third one. But the fourth one was CEO Boogie. And, like, I got so much flack. I'm like, but he had a good run. Like, he had a, you know, I don't know, like.
That's what I'm saying. There's still, like, there's so many people who.
It is.
Who made an impact from Lewis Keys to...
And shout out to Lewis Keys.
Man, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Then you got Lincoln Bridge who made an impact. You know,
yeah, they like, did. They did. Lincoln Bridge made an
impact to keep this thing going.
Hey, Big and Lazy, give me a moment of your time to talk about IECA Services, the licensed electric company operating in Kentucky. They get pool permit. They can do everything from adding outlets to your TV, installing new light fixtures, to wiring an investment property, or even building something new from scratch. So whether you're in your living room and you want to add on something to your house, or you're in a real estate investor and you want to find an electrician to rewire an investment property, hit up IECA Services right now. Link is in the bio. Craving a sweet treat? The Sweet Guy Bakery ships nationwide, delivers, and is also local pickup. Right now, grab the dorm room special, care packages, and mega boxes of cookies, all at sweet prices. Starting soon, they have a 2-for-5 deal. Follow them on Instagram, TikTok, at the Sweet Guy Bakery, where every bite is a match made in heaven. I think Louisville's on pace, good spot. But even though some people be like, we could be bigger, like, what do you think as a city we can take a next step to maybe be a baby Atlanta, maybe a, you know?
I think, well, I be sitting in these meetings sometimes with, like, the people who, quote, unquote, like, make decisions for cities and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want us to be a Nashville, Atlanta. They want us to be... He said this verbatim, and I'm not going to call him out who it is, but he was like, they want us to be like a Napa Valley or something. I've never been in Napa Valley.
Me either.
But I don't even know what goes on in Napa
Valley. Right.
I think they like the concept of Louisville still being kind of slow pace.
Country town, college town. Yeah,
kind of, like they don't really want it to go... It could.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're trying to, if you look at downtown, it's almost like they're gentrifying it a little bit and trying to make downtown more of like a real downtown where people are like down there and mm-hmm. live there instead of out in these places. So I don't know. You'll see.
They
I don't think they want it to be.
They definitely gentrifying the West End. The first time I seen a house, I never thought I'd see houses in West End would go for $200,000. I never, because I was kind of a real estate investor for a while. I said, what the hell? I thought it was a typo. I'm like, oh, you, but 2 or 3 years later, they just going left and right. Like, it's.
Oh, yeah, they're
going
to keep doing it. I mean, but if you go out the other way, the houses, it used to be 500 or 700, 800 yeah. now. It's just, it's crazy.
So, you was on, your music was on Starz, Power Book 4, Force. Yeah. How did that come about? And how, and
that happened one time. I didn't, it took maybe a year and a half for it to actually come mm-hmm. out. Maybe two, I can't remember. But Big Tank is the producer on this show. He also does like Boondocks and he does every Starz, every 50 show. I think he does mm-hmm. the music for it. He came to Ethica's headquarters one time and they played a bunch of records that they were like, all right, if you're going, we'll put so many records in our shows. They picked 12 songs. And I think out of the 12, I can't 100% say this, but I know a lot of them are mine. So mm-hmm. I don't know if they later will come out. I still don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's how that happened. Big Tank, he was cool, man, when I met him.
So did you get like a heads up before, like, we're going to use your song on this episode at this time? Or was it like you watching it in like
I think I was watching it in real time.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, yeah, I was watching it in real time.
Okay.
I ain't going to lie. I was on the couch. I know now. I was on the couch, Ethica Boxers on, yeah. cover, and I'm watching it. And I just jump up like, that's fucking me. And that's just how that worked.
Ah, that's what's up, man. Yeah,
so I watched it in real time.
And you was also in acting. You did a little acting. You said you did a movie with Taye Diggs. How to describe that? Like, yeah,
I was in a movie that was shot here with George Lopez, Taye Diggs, John Cusack. It's a bunch of big names.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow I just got asked to be a part of it. My dude Animal, he's a producer. He did a lot of songs on there. So my song's in the movie too. But they asked me to act. They wanted me to be a mayor, which had a way bigger role.
Why'd you do it?
I was going to do it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I never got to audition for it.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
So they just picked somebody that was already ready. But I'd have loved that because I'd have really got to really show my acting. That's I had to play a criminal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You gotta get in somewhere you fit.
Yeah.
So, are you doing any more acting or is it like a one time thing?
I wanna get into it, man. There's so much going on, man. It's just hard to like focus on just acting out of nowhere. But I definitely do like it. I mean, it's fun. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. This is a little off topic. Well, not off topic. So, if you could have any actor play a biography of you, Who you picking, man?
Like a real actor. It don't matter if they're older or younger. Like just I'm Denzel for sure.
Oh yeah,
Denzel play me, man.
Yeah,
that man can make any role interesting.
Man, I just watched that Train Day again, man. He did that movie was so amazing. It was.
And they said he was like basically freestyling most of that shit too.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
well, I heard the
my nigga part. And
yeah. Really? Because I heard the last part of Terry Crews and a couple of people. Antoine Fuqua, the director, they said that whole King Kong, all it was freestyle.
Like, I guarantee. I mean, he just seems like one of those people, like, when he's in his character, he's in his character.
Wow.
And he can just spit it out. Pause.
Yeah, man, that was crazy right there. how do you feel about substance in music, like storytelling? Like,
I feel like it's definitely went away.
I think
that's what you mean. Mm-hmm. Like, I think everything now is like microwave, man. When it used to be, sit that bitch on 400 and let it cook for a minute, like 400 degrees, basically. Like, that's another album that should be mentioned in some of the top albums, 400 degrees. And I didn't grow up listening to South, but
Juvenile,
yeah,
that's different. But yeah, I can see it being in a top 10, a top 5.
Cause it has some hits on it.
It did,
and it has some cuts that still go to this day. So, but yeah, I mean, but it's so. I think there's so many artists now.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's hard to focus. There's a new artist coming out like every day.
It is, really is.
Like, So it's hard to keep substance in music because people just want it.
They want it's microwave like yeah. And internet's instant access. Metro Boomin just recently said, he said internet ruined regional sound. Do you believe that?
I think so. Because now everybody kind of sounds the same. And like mm-hmm. you before you could be like, oh yeah, he's from such and such, or he's from just by the beat or by the tone of his voice.
Right.
Now, I don't know where half these are. When I found out where somebody's from, I'm like, damn, okay, that makes sense.
Right.
Or it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Like, I was just listening, like, it kind of hit me. Like, damn, they do all sound the same. Like, back in the day, West Coast had a certain sound. Houston had the chopped and screwed. New Orleans and...
New York had that little...
Yeah, they did.
New York kind of just... They reinvent themselves a lot. But... The original New York was, that was the original rap. Florida got their own little sound too, but.
So I'm gonna ask you this: like, what's your top five albums of all time? Like, what's your top? Because y'all seen you mention it. It was written in there. You got 400 Degrees. Does that make your top five?
I don't know if 400 Degrees is in my top five. My go-to albums that I always go to is Blueprint.
Yeah.
It was written. Thug Motivation.
Thug Motivation was a classic.
The fifth one's always hard. Like, because I still like Tribe Called Quest used to be in there, but I don't know. It changes now.
Me and Ray DeRodders.
Yeah.
No, when I first got my car, when I first got my own car, this was like 2010. I'm aging myself. 2010. And I just went, and excuse me. Niggas use LimeWire. We had LimeWire.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I Googled like the top five rap albums of all time, and I just went from 50 all the way, ripping them. Like, and Midnight Marauders, that was one of the classics. Like, that was.
Oh, yeah.
That was a classic. Low End Theory, that was a nice one.
Low End Theory is dope, too. And Midnight Marauders is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But I like Sam Cooke, like, but not like a complete album. I like the best of Sam Cooke, so.
Uh-huh.
And then both the Dream's first two albums is one of my favorite albums, too.
Yeah, he's nice. Mm-hmm.
He's one of my favorite writers, for sure.
He wrote a lot for Neo, didn't he?
He wrote a lot for a lot of people. But Neo writes a lot for everybody else, too, though.
So how do you feel about, like, ghostwriting?
I mean...
Because I think it's all part of the game. It is.
I think with rap, it's a little different. Like, I think if somebody's writing all your raps...
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't.
Because rap's
built more on like being authentic or like what's true to you, and somebody else writing verses for you is strange to me.
Yeah, One Take said the same thing. He said, man, rapping is different. It's not R&B. Like, if you getting most of your rhymes wrote for you, like.
I can see like you in the studio and you like, man, I'm missing a word. And somebody says, yeah, you should say neglect. All right, cool. That's different. But if somebody's literally writing what you should say, I think it's different. Now, sometimes, like, but in the studio, though, like, sometimes it's just, if you're confident in your writing and somebody's helping you with something, I don't think it's that bad. But if you just plain Jane, I don't rap, I want somebody to write all my raps for me and I rap, that's just a little weird to me.
It is.
Not saying that it ain't.
Especially if you rapping about some gruesome stuff and selling drugs and doing
whatever you're saying. Like something has to be true to you at some point. But hops, like figuring out what hops you use, a lot of people have problems with that.
What's
so,
hops like?
Like just like eats. which cadence I should use for a verse. So like Juvenile might be like
right.
So then that might give you an idea like, okay, I can just make words out of what you just said. So that's a little different giving somebody hops, but you writing every single word for me is just a little different.
Yeah.
A little different for me.
So when the Cardinals started using your song, man, like how was that? Like you got the unofficial theme song of the Louisville. Well, it might be official. Is it official?
It has been deemed official, but what happened was back in when it was like maybe a year or two after it came out, I had to sue Victoria's Secret because they stole my phrase and put it on mugs and t-shirts. And I mean, it was a big thing.
What was your phrase?
You don't want these cards. I coined that phrase.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was Victoria's Secret was looking for theme songs for every, they were doing a college line.
Yeah.
So they were like, we need all your official songs.
Uh-huh.
So they went to Kentucky and they went to Florida. They went to a bunch of schools. And U of L said, yeah, this is our official song. You're on these cars. But I'm like, I didn't get compensated from that at really? All. Yeah.
Huh.
I got all the evidence if I didn't want to bring it back up. So.
So did you, how did the lawsuit go? How did it?
I decided to not pursue it as much because I still have a connection with the university.
Yeah.
But if the university's watching, it's about time to stroke me a little check.
Okay. So you was going to sue the Louisville or you going to sue Victoria's Secret?
I could have got them both.
Okay.
But you're talking about me suing two companies with a lot of money.
Yeah, Glamorous. Yeah, these are, it's a big machine behind it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was obvious that that phrase was brought to life by me.
Mm-hmm. So how's your relationship with Louisville these days? Like,
it's good, but you got to remember when that happened right after that, that's when all the scandal shit took off. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the people that were there aren't there no more.
Right.
Some people still are, and I have relationships with all of them. Yeah, for sure. Shout out to Dan Furman. He's runs the NIL out there.
Oh, okay. That's amazing. So what scandal are you talking about? Louisville had so many, talking about the
scandal? Yeah, we had a lot. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. After that, like so many people get fired and rehired.
Yeah.
Change jobs after that because, you know, you can't keep everybody.
I think they did Jerry's wrong. I don't see why.
For sure.
Why the fuck he ain't got a job since then? I don't see why, not only he gets wrongfully fired, but I think he.
He changed the whole culture of this city.
He did. Like,
we was used to winning for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Like, and he didn't have nothing to do with that, man. They just, I think the power, I think it's bigger than what we know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as, I think there's more to it than.
Because we sat down and talked with Shane Bohannon, and he said, I know Rick, and I'm telling you now, like, Rick didn't have, the higher ups didn't do nothing about that. You know what I mean? Like, none of that, you know, it was some old, you know, the higher ups hadn't, you know. So. I don't know. So what are some major people in the industry that you didn't work with?
Let's see. Damn, starting out, I remember the first, like, bigger people I worked with was, like, Bone Crusher and, like, J-Bo from Young Bloods, like, stuff like that. And then, like, I've worked with Kalina that was with Diddy, Dirty Money. That was my homegirl.
Oh, okay.
You know, when Diddy was getting those texts while he couldn't get out, she hit, I think she was one of the people he was texting recently. That's great. I don't know. I've been in the studio with a lot of big artists.
Uh-huh. Like,
even Jessie Murph was blowing up right now. I was around her. My one of my homies, like real good friends, is Stephen Kirk. He wrote Smooth Like Butter for BTS.
Yeah.
He's got a Netflix show right now, and then he's got He wrote on the K-pop Demon Hunters. It's number one on Netflix right now. So, like,
you say BTS? You talking about the local rap group?
Nah, this is,
that's BTSD.
They're like a big Korean pop group. They had the number one song for 17 weeks or some shit. Something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like probably like top four songs that have been charted.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's what's up. So, like, do you ever feel like, I'm not saying, you ain't got to say no names or something, but are higher up celebrities harder to work with? Like bigger names harder to work with?
Yeah, because at some point it's all about money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you've got, in between them, you got a manager, and in between that, you got a best friend or who, somebody's handling something. So by the time you get to them, man, it's all about money for real, unless you really know them.
Right.
Or unless you make a name for yourself.
Yeah. So is it, you say it's all about money, so is it? Is some of the relationships like, maybe I can do this for free here to build this relationship? Like, have you ever?
Have I ever done it?
Yeah, like, is it not all about?
I think most of the time it is. Like, the good thing about being at Ethica, though, is, like, all these guys come through Ethica. Like, I've worked with my homie, Tech. Me and Tech got, like, three or four songs together. He's from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's really from New Orleans, but he moved to Houston, but like just being in that environment, being around those people, it makes it easier to do a song with them, or you know what I mean? You don't have to go through the manager and the, you know, like all the little stupid paperwork that you got to do. But it's at the end of the day, though, know, most of these artists is about money.
Right. And it's America. Yeah. It's all about, you know, I just went through a little event where I had to get my car back. I'm like, this ain't nothing but a fucking scam. This ain't nothing. Somebody stole my stuff and I got to pay to get my car back. That's crazy. Y'all some goddamn con artists. But yeah, it was crazy. I don't want to talk about that, man. Shit. So how do you feel? Like, where do you see yourself in a couple years, man? So where do you?
I mean, hopefully I'm at the CMAs.
Uh-huh.
Getting my award.
Oh, okay.
For my country album. And then, you know, I might go back to doing some rap. I mean, people don't know, but I do pop music, rap music. I write all that type of music all the time. But
yeah.
Rap just kind of gets boring sometimes.
That's what I was about to ask you. Do you ever lose your motivation? Like,
all the time.
Stay, really?
All the time.
So how do you get it back or how you stay motivated?
A lot of it is just life. Life mm-hmm. will hit you and you'll be like, you know what? I need to just go ahead and write about this. Or having a studio, it keeps me around talent all day long. You get to see somebody come in the studio for the first time.
Yeah.
And that'll spark you like, damn, man, I remember that was me. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So just stuff like that, man. And just, you know, I just had a daughter. So like that motivates me. Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. For
sure. That motivates me even more.
Right.
To do something. So, yeah.
So that's what's up, man. It was wonderful talking to you, man. It's a dope interview, dope conversation. I like to say conversation instead of interviews.
No, for sure.
So you say you see yourself at the CMAs in 5 years? More like 5 months, man. Like
hopefully, hopefully I'm at the next one.
Yeah.
Whenever the next one is, hopefully it ain't like next month. But if it's like, you know, 6 months from now.
When is that release? Is it already out?
We're still working on how to release it, what to do with it, but. It's done, though. I've got it mixed. It's ready to go. Just got to package it.
That's what's up, man. And I have one more question before we get out of here. So you've been in the game for a while. So do you think the game, the music industry, is better when it was streams or was like physical copies?
It's a gift and a curse with both. Because with streams, you can hit somebody in 10 states over that. Back then, you had to go to that city,
mm-hmm.
promote your shit, or you had to meet somebody that went to college and they going back home and they taking your shit back and they playing it for their homies. And you know what I mean? It was just, it felt more organic back then because now people can fake streams, they can fake listeners, they can fake, all this shit's fake.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the time. Like if you look at most people's pages, they have 100,000 followers but only getting 80 likes and comments are hidden. It's not real.
Mm. So that's a red flag. A lot of, because I see it a lot of times. And why would you want to have your damn comments? Because it's a bunch of.
Because it's just a bunch of foreigners.
Yeah.
Fire, love it, bro. You know what I'm saying? That type of shit.
When we first started out, some foreigners tried to come to us, man. We're like, he went live and everything. And it was wild. Like, he panned the camera around. It was like 50 people in the room. Like,
oh, he showed you the
operation. Yeah, he showed me the operation. They all behind computers, like it ain't no office building, like they in like in the middle of, you know, the desert somewhere type shit. You know what I mean? Like, so that was wild. Like, I don't know.
They hustling.
Yeah, they are. Real talk.
I do, but now streaming, I kind of like them both. I think streaming made it oversaturated though.
I think so too.
Yeah, for sure.
So how does it work? Like, so is 100? You know, 1 million streams is going platinum, or is it weighted? Because I remember, you know, 1 million records is a platinum record.
A million records used to be, like, and that seemed like it wasn't obtainable. But what people didn't know, too, is, like, those Targets and those FYEs and all, they were already pre-buying those just to sell them.
Okay. So that went to your album sales?
Yeah, for sure. Because you might have shipped. That's why sometimes they say shipped gold.
Yeah.
Because you shipped enough to go gold.
Oh, okay. Dropping some gems. We didn't know that, man. Huh. That's what's up. So, country album. So, are you going to put a pop album out or are you going to put...
I've been thinking about taking the opposite of Post Malone's route. Like, you know, Post Malone kind of went rap, pop, country. I'm thinking about going country rap, pop, or country pop, rap, whatever. I think there's no rules anymore.
Right.
It used to be so strict to, you got to stay in this lane and do, man, people, you can do whatever you want.
Do you think Lil Nas X broke that record, broke that barrier with the
He did. Road? He broke a lot of barriers.
He did.
He broke some barriers, all right. He did, though. That was a bit, I mean, that's, like again, that's one of those top songs ever charted. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, it was crazy.
But people can say what they want. I don't know. There's theories of who started country, whether it's black people, white people, whatever. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's just music, man. At the end of the day, if it makes somebody feel good and it helps you do something or it makes you happy or makes you cry when you don't want to, whatever, it's music.
Right. Music for the soul, man. And I got a wide variety of, you can catch me listening to Shania Twain, a Master P.
I went to a Shania Twain concert before.
Really? How was it?
It was crazy. It was a bunch of screaming white girls. I'll tell you that much.
Sounds like a good... I went to that Wayne concert. That was pretty diverse. Like, Wayne's like... I forget. Wayne's almost like a superstar. Not almost. He is a superstar. Like,
being on tour with him was crazy, man. I can tell you that. Just cause...
What was the groupies like? You ain't got to answer that. Like,
well, the thing was, Wayne was going through something at the time. I think, like, somebody threatened his life. Or something was going on.
Uh-huh.
I don't 100% know. But you didn't see him. It was stage...
Really?
Bus. No, after stage bus.
Oh, damn.
Out of there.
It's when the time, it was a rumor with the jaw broke. He got his jaw broke or something. I don't know.
I was so much shit going on. And back then, a rumor could just be a rumor.
Right.
Like, nobody ever spoke on it or made it a fact.
Right, because we didn't have our own platforms back then. But Now we got our own platforms thanks to the internet, podcasts, and microphones.
Now, something happened now, everybody going to know.
Right. So, yeah. Well, it was good talking to you, man. It was an amazing interview.
I appreciate you having
me. Good conversation, man.
Told him I've been a fan of this show. So.
Yeah, man. I still get love. Like, when people, especially a legend like this, like, I've been a fan of y'all's show. I've been tapping in. Man, made my day, man. Real talk, man. I was kind of down in the dumps. That made my day. I love all the support. When people see me out in stores and whatever, you can come up to me. I'm not no Hollywood, I'll, take a picture, I'll sign, whatever. You can get merch at bigandlazy.com.
There you go.
Get you some merch, and I'm going to, pull up on me, I'll sign it. Big and Lazy Pod is the IG. You want to shout your socials out?
Yeah, my IG is SimCity. That's SIMM _CITI. I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess people still on Facebook, that's just BSim. and then officialbsim.com. If you want merch, I got Ethica stuff. I got U of L stuff. I'm about to start selling Sim Brims maybe for country.
Oh, okay.
What's up?
There you go. That's a good hat. That's a good bag of them damn brims.
My homie just made that up today, and I was like, you know what? I might use that.
There you go.
Sim Brims.
And we're going to just like that. We out.
All right.
Big Lazy. Another confirmed multimedia production.
Confirmed. Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good to eat. Give us something good to watch.
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirmed Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirmed and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirmed.